There's revival and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. A Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it?
Get started. We're teaching through the book of Genesis. We're on the 25th chapter, the second part of it. We've already dealt with Abraham, father of faith, and Sarah. Sarah's gone. Abraham's gone. Now we're down to the children of Abraham. Now, the two that count the most or are significant is Isaac and Ishmael, okay? And so as we're reading this, we'll start out in verse 12, I think I left off. when we're thinking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we're talking about faith versus the carnal man. You know, you get into where the carnal man is the person that just deals with things the way they are and works in the flesh. So as you're doing that, as we're seeing this, then we see that Isaac follows after faith. Ishmael follows after the natural man. You have two natures in you. One of them is a natural man. The other one is the spiritual man. And this preacher that I used to listen to a lot, he was a country preacher, He said, it's like having two dogs, and whichever one you yell sick 'em to is the one that's going to win. And, you know, taking things of the world and looking at them and seeing how people react in that condition shows us the exact opposite of what is happening in the spiritual realm. So we want, God is a spirit. We want to act. We want to be. We want to walk in the spirit, in the things of God, rather than the things of the world. We don't want to walk in the flesh. You know, when you walk in the flesh, somebody says something to you, you're mad. You know, and in so being, you have reacted in the flesh, acted in the natural man, acted against the condition of God. God wants us to walk in the Spirit. He wants us to conduct ourselves according to the Word of God. He wants us to walk not after man, but after His Holy Spirit. So here we go. Verse 12, so now this is the genealogy of Ishmael. Well, wait a minute. Why did he start out with Ishmael first? Well, huh? Yeah, well, maybe not save the best for last, but he's giving you this indication. If you start out this world in the flesh, you will produce seed from that flesh. In other words, the actions that you do, the things that you say, will lead to the flesh. It will glorify the flesh. Well, you know, I'm not going to let anybody talk to me like that. I'm not going to let so-and-so do this, or I'm not going to do that, or whatever. You see, that's acting out of the flesh. And acting out, not out of the flesh, but acting out of the Spirit is where we need to be. We need to follow God. God is a Spirit. And those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You see, so what we're doing is we're conditioning ourselves. The first thing that we present to the world is the flesh. And then after that, we begin to understand spiritually that God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So if God is wanting me to have everlasting life, God is wanting me to walk with Him and talk with Him, then we need to understand that I've got to put Ishmael out. I've got to put my natural flesh out of commission. I've got to say, no, flesh, you're not going to do that. You see, your flesh is what gets mad at other people. Yeah. Somebody says something, and they said it as a joke. But you didn't understand it to be a joke. You understood it just what it said. And you are standing there, matter, as the old saying goes, madder than a wet hen. I've never seen a wet hen, but that's all right. Here we go. Now, this is the genealogy of Ishmael, Abraham's son. The person of faith, son, is now in the world. Now, what I'm getting out of that is that because someone is the son of a preacher does not make them a preacher. Because you're the son or the child of a Christian individual does not make you a Christian. You see, you've got to understand that this is not inherited stuff. The traits of that individual is inherited. You know, Abraham had enough sense to question things of the world. And, you know, if this is true, this has got to be true. And if that's true, that's got to be true. And it led him that those things that they were doing, they were worshiping idols and so on and so forth, was not the path to God. It was not a service to God. You know, people can say, well, you know, I did this and I did that and I did that. Yeah, but that's not God. You see, my good deeds does not get me into heaven.
Amen.
My good deeds are a plus to what Christ paid for on the cross for me.
Amen.
In other words, he redeemed me. He paid for my sins. He paid for all the transgressions that I had done. Now, I simply believed in him, and I saw that he had sacrificed his only begotten son, that if I would believe in him, that I would not perish, but that I would come unto everlasting life.
Amen.
So when you get to looking at that, you begin to see that, you know, my Father is not what got me into heaven. My grandfather was not what got me into heaven. My great-grandfather, who was a minister, didn't get me into heaven. It's the fact that Christ died for me and I received that payment for my sins, and that is what's getting me into heaven.
Amen.
You see, we got to understand that this book is showing us the two sides of my nature. Right here's Ishmael. He's a natural man. He's carnal. He's going after the things of the flesh. He wants this. And the first thing that's going to come up in the Word of God with me is it's going to show me that I am like Ishmael. I am approaching God and all of God's things in the flesh.
Amen.
That's how we start out. We start out in the flesh. The Word of God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We approach the world, we approach the Word of God from Ishmael's perspective. You know, I was brought in with good parents, I was brought in a lineage of ministers and so on and so forth, but see, that didn't pay for my redemption. And we're going to get in here and we're going to talk about the two sons of Isaac. And my parents had, when I grew up, I had a brother. So it was my oldest, he was the first of eight, I was the last of eight. And my brother chose to be just like the two that Isaac has. One of them went a carnal way, and one of them went a spiritual way. The older served the younger. In other words, my brother would listen to what I had to say about the Word of God because he didn't understand it. Same thing going here with Isaac. But let's get on a little bit further. Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's maidservant, bore to Abraham. And these were the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajoth, then Kedar, Adbel, Mibsham, Mishma, Duma, Mesa, Hadar, Tema, Jetur, Nepish, and Kedishan. These were the sons of Ishmael, and these were the names of their towns and their settlements. 12 princes according to the nations. Now, we haven't got down to the 12 tribes of Israel. But right here, it's talking about the 12 tribes of Ishmael. Whoa! The world, Satan is the prince and the power of the air. Satan rules the world. So anything he sees that God is doing, he mimics it. But he perverts it. There's not one thing that Satan will ever do that is original, but he will pervert the things of God to make people think, well, you know, hey, I'm doing right because this is just like what God did today. I got scripture for it here. He talks about the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, right here's the 12 tribes of Ishmael. Wow. Never thought of it that way. But the reason is that it's not true is because he put the flesh first rather than putting God first. Amen. And God has to be first in your life. God has to be first in everything that you do. And in so doing, we will find out that the sons of Ishmael and their names and their tribes are just exactly that. They're tribes. They're, you know, mimic of what God is going to do. Satan thinks of nothing original. Satan mimics. Satan copies. But the biggest thing is that when he copies and mimics, he perverts. So you can think that, hey, this is according to Scripture because there was 12 tribes. No, it's not according to Scripture because it does not follow after God. Not one mention is made here of God in this correlation. He's talking about his natural flesh. He's talking about his generations and talking about the tribes that those generations have. So it's a matter of them walking in their pride and arrogance rather than in the meekness and the Spirit of God. Now, these were the years of the life, verse 17, these were the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people. Now, notice it says, to his people. When you find ungodly people will begat ungodly people. You know, well, let's see, I've told you, I don't know how many times that my grandparents, great-grandparents, and great-great-great, and great-great-great-great-great, and great-great-great were ministers, and this and that and the other, and my my mother's parents were all Christians, and so on and so forth, and they walked according to the Word of God. Well, see, even though they walked according to the Word of God, did not naturally pass that on to me. But they proclaimed the Word, showed that God had died for me, and that it was my responsibility to seek God and to look into the Word of God and find that God has a desire for my life, and that if I walk after Him and follow after Him, then I will receive the riches of God. You see, and we think, well, the only thing you ever get, and I heard a lot of people say this, the only thing you're going to get from God is, in heaven. You know, once you leave this world, then you'll get something from God. You'll get salvation. You'll get a go to heaven. That's all you get from God. But it doesn't say that in the Word of God. The Word of God says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. All right? So if I can call on Him and ask for forgiveness of my sins and receive salvation, I can also go on like Abraham did and receive the blessings of God.
Amen.
See, Abraham died a rich man. And the reason he died a rich man is because he followed after God and adhered to God's commandments. Now, that doesn't mean that he didn't make a mistake with Ishmael. He did. He tried to do it himself. You know, God said that, you know, that you know, you're going to have a son. And he said, well, I'm getting old and I'm getting tired and, you know, maybe I ought to have that son now. I know what he wants me to do. He wants me to go out and have a son by Sarah's handmaid. God never said that. God said, you and Sarah are going to have a child. You see, we read the Word of God and then we try to interpret the Word of God the way it would be easiest for us. You know, that was pretty easy. Go out, sleep with another woman, have a child. Now I got it. It's all taken care of. No. He said, in due process, in due time, you will have a son by Sarah.
Amen.
A lot of times God tells us, in due time, you are going to do such and such, and we get ahead, we put the cart in front of the horse instead of behind the horse, and then we expect to make a journey with God. I have never, ever, ever seen a horse pushing a cart. I've seen them pulling a cart, but I've never seen them pushing a cart. Now, I know a lot of people will argue with me because when a horse is in the harness and everything, he's pushing on that harness. But still the cart is behind him. So he is putting his body against the stresses that are coming against him, and he is applying his natural force to that to make it progress. If we get into the Word of God and we allow the Word of God to be our harness, to allow God to situate the load that we're going to progress through in this life, we will find that the way is easy and it's going to be light. And we had a mule that we would log with when I was a kid, and that mule would take off running every time you put it in the harness. Well, when you run with logs, logs will hit stumps and rocks and this and that and the other, and they'll go flying everywhere. You know, they'll break a leg or whatever. So my dad would teach that mule not to do that because he would put such a load on it to begin with that mule would have to walk. He couldn't run with it. He had to walk with it. Then all the rest of the day, that mule, you could hook it to one log, you could hook it to a twig, you could hook it to five logs, and it would do nothing but walk. You see, when you get harnessed up with the Word of God, you get the Word of God as your load in life, you will learn to walk with God, to talk with God, and to call Him your own. You know, see, that's the key to all this, is these illustrations, these people are showing you different aspects of life. You know, if I talk to you about Debbie or or Carolyn or whoever, I'm talking to you about different things, different people, different characters. And as I'm doing, you have pictured in your mind that individual, the way they conduct themselves, the way they act, what they're doing. You know, I was talking to Jackie a while ago, and I asked Jackie, I said, you clap your hands rather loud. Why do you do that? Well, I'm happy. Yeah, but do you have scripture for that? Well, and I said, how about make a joyful noise unto the Lord? You know, that's in the Psalms.
Yes, it
is. So when you are presented with an opportunity to be in God's presence, then you can make a joyful noise. My brother-in-law used to whistle. I mean, he could whistle and put your ears out. I mean, he was that loud. Or he would dance, you know, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He would, you know, and you could hear him dancing on the floor. He said, that's all part of being God's child and understanding that it is God that has redeemed me. God has brought me forth. God's not left me in the things of this world, but God has presented eternal life to me. And now, as I am approaching God, I can freely worship Him, praise Him, magnify His name. I can tell other people about Him. I can demonstrate to other people that God has not left me nor forsaken me, but God has brought me to the point where I am like Ishmael. I am presented with difficulties in life, but I know that my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
All right. Now, these are the year, I already got that one for you, 18. They dwelt from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt, as you go toward Assyria. He died in the presence of his brethren. Now, we're talking about Ishmael. Ishmael died in the presence of his brothers, his family. One thing you've got to understand, that the natural man that is in you will have to die, and it has to be a public confession of faith and presented before your brethren that I am setting aside this old man. I'm setting aside all my carnal nature. I'm setting aside all the things that I used to do. And I am going to walk with God. I am going to be an example of what God does in an individual's life. You see, we don't think of it that way. We think of, oh, here's Ishmael, and here's, you know, he was an illegitimate son, and da-da-da-da-da. But look at the character. Look at what God is teaching us. Look at what God is illustrating to us, that it's not your walk, it's walking with Him and fellowshipping with Him that brings it out of your life. You can tell the world that you're the most spiritual person there is, but until you walk that walk and fellowship with God on a constant basis and they see the changed nature in you, they will never understand that you're a child of God. Now, this is the genealogy of Isaac. Now we're over into the spiritual person. Do you have any genealogy in your spirit? Do you have anything that you've shared with others that has brought them into the relationship of God as a new child? A lot of people go through their life and they never tell anybody about what God has done in their life. You know, one of the things that people would say, one time, Debbie got a phone call about me. Do you want us to have him, do you need any help having him put away? Well, what for? Well, all he wants to talk about is Jesus. I mean, you know, he's gone crazy. Didn't they say that? Yeah. Well, the reason was that I was so consumed with the fact that God would send His only begotten Son, that if I would believe in Him, I would not perish. You see, I've always been a little man, not much money, not this, not that. I could name a thousand things that I'm not. But you see, before I was created in my mother's womb, God loved me and sent His Son to die for me. You see, I was important to God. I mean, you know, when you're a little child in the coal fields and you don't, you're just real little and everybody wants to pick on the little guy, you know. I learned I had to be two things. I either had to be mean or I had to learn how to run. And I can probably outrun anybody in here. But you see, you got to understand that God creates each individual for a purpose. He didn't create me to be a boxer. He didn't create me to be a fighter. He didn't create me to be a big man or whatever. But you see, I was always easy to learn from God. I wanted to know what thus saith the Lord. And when I got into church, I got into some situations that could have easily took me out of church. But I learned that God is with me. He walks with me and He talks with me and He calls me His own. So now we're getting in here. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethel of Haran, of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban and Haran. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Now, isn't there a big lesson right there in that?
Yeah, he waited 40 years.
And when he got serious with God, he asked God for the desires of his heart. He was 40 years old. He got serious. He got down on his knees and he said, God, I need this. My wife's desire is to have a child. Wow. How many men pray for their wives or their spouses, whatever you want to call them, to the point that God says, you know, I heard your prayer. I heard your prayer. I heard your prayer. I heard your prayer. And you're going to have a child. I know people that had children. I won't get into that. And he says, but the child, now Isaac pleaded, I got that, granted his plea, and Rebekah his wife conceived. But the children, not the child, but the children, to me that's a plural singular. Well, I'm not an English scholar, but that tells me that there's more than one, but it's still one in relationship to God. And struggled together within her, and she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. That's pretty good advice right there. You got a problem? You don't know how to solve it? How about going to the Lord and asking the Lord what's going on here? God, I don't understand this. You see, a lot of times we'll pray about a situation and we tell God what we want rather than asking God what is happening here and how can I be in your will and do what you want me to do. That sounds a different story. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Now, wow, what have we got there? Don't we have in the physical here an illustration of what's to come in the future? There's going to be two people, and one people shall serve God, and the other one shall serve the world and try to run dominance over the children of God, the children of Isaac. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. Two of them. The natural man and the spiritual man. Amen. The natural world, the spiritual world. Amen. The natural is what? Strong, big, rugged, domineering. I'm going to control this. I don't need God. I am big enough to do this on my own. People do that. But the little guy in the end that serves God will far better exceed the natural man. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over, so they called his name Ishmael. Now, think of that. He's got red hair, and he's covered from head to toe in hair. When I was a young boy, this guy tried to date one of my sisters, and his name was Henry, and I accidentally called him Harry, because he had to shave his neck, he had to shave his face, he had to shave his hands in order to have, I mean, he had hair everywhere. And it was long hair, big hair. It looked like a shaved bear. But you see, the thing is that it's not the natural that we're looking at. We're looking at the person of the flesh. The flesh is going to dominate an individual. The red hair is dominating Esau. Okay? So what I'm getting at is, it's not just the hair or whatever. It's the fact that the natural man is going to be evident in the people that walk according to the flesh. The world will say one thing and do another. They will talk one way and do something else. But the Word of God says that we need to be obedient unto the Word of God, and we need to be walking in the statutes and the Word of the Word of God, and allowing the Word of God to be evident in our lives, so that Esau can see that it is God that blesses these people, and I need to repent and receive from God. All right. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. In other words, Isaac was 60 years old when he had his sons. A lot of times we are so impatient with God that we receive a promise from God and we do not want to wait for maturity in the flesh, in the spirit, and receive from the things of God. We want to naturally receive it now. I want it now. I don't want to wait. I don't want to mature. I don't want to be following God all this long. I want your promise now, and then I'll serve you. But when you get the greatest blessings is when you serve God before the promises are even seen. You see, you know, I had several promises made to me over the years by God. Some of them haven't come true. A lot of them have come true. But see, the ones that haven't come true doesn't mean that God has forsaken me. He's waiting for me to mature to the point that I can understand and receive the blessing that He has for me. And I can illustrate that to the whole world that it wasn't my natural ability. It was God's ability to bless me, to walk with me and talk with me and share His love with me. And in so doing, I did not develop this. I did not earn it. I did not buy it. I walked with God and God blessed me in all that I do. God blesses me. He blesses me when I rise up and when I sit down, when I journey forward, when I go backward, whatever you want to go. In the Word of God, you'll find that He blesses the individual that follows after the Word of God. It's not my ability to teach. It's not my ability to be personable. It's my ability to look into the Word of God and allow the Word of God to teach me that I can illustrate to other people that it is the hand of God that brings the blessing. It's not the natural man. It's not the things of this world. But it is the hand of God that brings the Word of God into fruition in your life. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, God is saying that I made this. I paid the price for you. I paid every debt that you owed. You know, we think of the redemption of God. Well, that's just, you know, one sin. One sin held me out. Yeah, one sin will hold you out. But you're not guilty of just one sin. You're guilty of a multitude of sins. And you need to understand that that one sin led to another sin, to another sin, to another sin. And after a while, sin became your tradition rather than your guidepost or your border, as it were. You know, I get astray. I go out of line. I don't follow God the way I should do. I am one that goes after the flesh sometimes rather than listening to the Word of God, allowing the Spirit of God to talk to me through that Word and show me that here I stand, just like Ishmael and all. I followed after my own way, and now I get close to death and I still have nothing from God. But see, when we get to reading in the Word of God and we get to looking at this, verse 27 says, "So the boys grew and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob." Now we're getting down into the nitty and gritty. What's the purpose of this? Why put that in the scriptures? Isaac. Was liked by one and Rebekah liked the other one.
They were
favorites. Huh? Favorites. Were there any favorites in your family?
Well, you know, there probably is, but nobody wants to talk about it.
Oh, nobody wants to talk about it. My sister-in-law has three children. And the two of them will say, "Your favorite is the third."
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? It's true. She admits it.
Yeah.
But see, God has no favorites. Not. God, if God loves you, He loves me. He loves you the same as He loves me. He loves me the same as He loves you.
Right.
Now, our response to His love is what makes a difference. Will I get more than she gets? Well, do I listen to the Word of God more than she does? You see, it's not that God loves one more than the other. It's the fact that one or the other adheres to the Word of God more. You see, it all boils down that God so loved the world. Are you in this world? Then God loves you. God loves you. He loves me. I'm in this world. You see, what I'm trying to get at is I'm trying to get you to see it's not my response to the love of God. It's God's love for me that brings His love and His actions toward me into fruition. Now, by me being willing and listening to His voice and His love for me changes the character in which I am obedient to. You know, as some people say, well, you know, my sisters always said that Mom loved me more than she did then. Well, Mom paid more attention to me than she did then because I was smaller. You know, when I was born, I told you this 1,000 times, I was only 3 pounds. Back 70 years ago, those babies did not live. I lived. But the reason I lived was because God had a purpose. And Mom was willing to stand on that promise of God that if she would ask, He would be obedient, or He would be obligated and be responsive to the Word of God that He had already spoken, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. She called upon the name of the Lord. The doctor said He will not live, but Mom said He will live. Not because it was her tenacity, but because it was in the Word of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And she stood on that promise even to the point that the last conversation we had, she was talking about heaven. Now, she wasn't a real religious person. She didn't go to church much. But she knew God had this given His Word, and His Word is faithful and true to the very end. Now, let's see, verse 28. And Isaac loved Esau because of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with the same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright at this day." You remember I told you I had a brother, and my older brother chose not to walk with God? All right? And the response was that I did walk with God. Now, I gave several tapes of CDs or whatever to my brother of me preaching. And anybody that came to his house heard those tapes and those CDs. This is my brother. But see, I didn't want to do that. I would have been happy and satisfied if my brother had followed after God in his life. But he didn't, just like Esau did. Esau said, "Look, I am about to die. So what is this birthright to me? Then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. You see, some people can get in it and have the birthright of God that, you know, God's going to do this. You know, God wants to do this in your family. God wants, you know, your family to be blessed because of you. But they don't see it. They don't look at the hand of God. They look at the natural person that they are. You know, I can hunt like nobody's business. You know, you give me a bow and arrow and I can take down a deer. You give me a spear and I can take down a bear. You know, doesn't matter what the animal is, I can bring it in and I can provide for those around me. Now, who is doing the providing?
The Lord.
Now, in his aspect, it's him doing it. God is not desirous that any should perish. But you see, he is saying, I can do this on my own. I don't need no birthright. I don't need all that fancy stuff. You just give me something to eat because I've been out hunting and I'm tired. And a lot of people don't want anything to do with church. They don't want anything to do with God because I'm tired. You can have it. I don't want it. A lot of people won't come to church. I spent 3 hours or an hour and a half at least. Yes, it was an hour and a half. Last night, talking to an individual, begging them to come to church with me today. I said, I will call you at 8 o'clock in the morning to make sure you're up and you'll have plenty of time to get ready. I called them at 8 o'clock and they said, well, I can't do it now. You see, there was some excuse. God, the devil will provide an excuse, but God will provide eternal life and a blessing.
Amen.
So, that's the key, is that we understand that just like what is happening here, we have an opportunity to receive the blessings of God, or we have the opportunity to walk after our own desires and our own flesh. Some people get saved, they come to church for a while, and then you never see them in church again. And the reason is because they're following after their own flesh. It is far easier to lay around in the bed in the morning than it is to get up and take a shower and get ready for church.
Amen.
Well, I can do that later. Or, the people in church just don't care nothing about me. Well, I'll tell you what, if God's in that church, God cares a lot about you. That's the thing that people have to understand, is this word is not written just to tell me about people that was 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. It wants to tell me about the heart of God and how much God cares for me in different situations, in different circumstances, and allow me to see that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So when I look into this word and I begin to see the blessings that God's children receive and how that others reject and turn away from God, I am convinced in my heart that God wrote this to show me, to illustrate to me, not that, you know, every time I turn around I have to repent, but as every time I turn around, that God is for me, not against me. God wants me to prosper. God wants me to walk in fellowship with him. He wants me to be a part of his children. He wants me to be forever in heaven with him. God paid the ultimate price by giving his son for me. For me. I mean, you know, I know a lot of you ladies have children and you love those kids. And you would probably lay down your life for them. But when I first came into this church, nobody knew who I was. And I guarantee you, not one person, probably, I'm probably wrong, would have given their life for me. Because I wasn't important to them. You see, the one thing we have to keep our eye on is the fact that in all these illustrations, God wants to show us that we are the most important thing that He has before Him. He gave His only begotten Son for you. He wants to walk with you and fellowship with you and let you know that in the circumstances of life, where it looks like you're barren, you're not going to receive anything from God, that you are blessed of God. God will hear your prayers. God will allow you to call out to Him. He knows the very desires of your heart. And it said He would give you the desires of your heart. You see, that's the key to all this, is understanding that this word is written for me, written to me, and was written because of me. You ever thought of that? I mean, just think. This book was written for you. And it was written because of you. And it was written for you. It changed your life. It changed every aspect of who you are and what you are. Because one day I looked into this word and I heard God calling my name. You see, that's the key, is to understand that this book, in all its complexities, all of its relationships, all of its references, all of it, everything about it, was written because of me. It was written to show me that in every aspect of my life, God is there. God's desire is to bless me, to prosper me, to love me, to walk in fellowship with me. I mean, how many other things could you think of that God would desire to bless you with because you walk with Him? He said He'd give you the desires of your heart. I'm sorry, but I think God changes your heart. The things I used to pray for, the things I used to want, I don't want anymore. I don't go looking at other things. I go looking at the Word of God and I see God and see that He's loved me and He cares for me and He wants to walk with me. You see, that's the aspect of the Word of God, is to illustrate to you, no matter whether you're Esau or Jacob or who you are, God has a plan for your life. You can either accept that plan, or you can accept the love of God, or you can walk in your own natural flesh like Esau. I can do it by myself. Well, I can tell you right now, I can't do it by myself. And God loves me to the point that His word is given for me. You got any questions or any comments or anything? All right. All right. We're off the air.